Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of Developer Tea. My name is Jonathan Cottrell, and today we're going to continue our discussion about generalized programmers versus specialized programmers. Now, in the last episode, we kind of introduced the topic, and my friend Justin basically sent me a text message and was saying, you know, I really would like for you to talk about this particular subject because he found himself seeing his role as a generalized programmer connected to the fact that he works at a smaller company. So I decided to cover that topic, and it turned out that it was just such a rich topic to talk about. And even in the two episodes that we've done here, there's no way we could cover the whole thing. There's just no way. Hopefully you will have seen some value in the first episode and in this episode. If you didn't hear the first one, I highly recommend that you go back to the first one and listen through it first, because I recorded the whole thing all at once. So I recorded the entire discussion nonstop. So I kind of jump in the middle in the second part. So if you feel a little bit lost, you may want to go back and listen. Maybe even if you just listen to the last couple minutes of the previous episode, that'll help you get kind of in the flow. I hope you enjoy this discussion about generalized programmers versus specialized programmers. You may not command as high of a salary as a specialized programmer would. And there's a lot of reasons for this. The main reason is mostly because a specialized programmer quite often is more rare. Somebody who knows a ton about programming, you know, native applications for an old version of BlackBerry, they are very rare, and reasonably so. Because there's just not a lot of need for that. But when there is a need for somebody who knows everything about an old version of a BlackBerry, when that person exists, they can say, "Hey, look, you know, I'm the only guy who can do this. So pay me more," right? They can command a higher salary because of their rarity, and a general programmer is a little bit less rare. Now, that's not a true across the board situation. If you have some specific things that make you stand out above the crowd, then yeah, absolutely, you can command a higher salary than the average general programmer. So that is a subjective conversation entirely. But in general, it is possible that a specialized programmer could command a much higher salary than a general programmer. So here's my suggestion. If you are going to be a general programmer, make sure you stack your knowledge together into logical groupings. What do I mean by stack? Well, imagine that you've already learned HTML, CSS, and jQuery. Like, you know, all the front-end languages to be able to create a static website. Well, the next couple of logical steps that you might would take is to learn maybe Backbone. Right? Backbone, JavaScript library that allows you to do some light MVC on top of JavaScript on the front end. That would be a great way to stack your knowledge and to cascade things so that your learning of Backbone adds value to your existing knowledge. You might also want to learn something like PHP next, right? Which would greater increase the value of your existing knowledge. If you know Java, you might want to learn about virtual machines, and things that will increase the value of your current knowledge and feed into each other, right? Because as we said before, you don't need to learn about underwater basket weaving. If you learn about something that has no applicability to your current knowledge set, then it doesn't really help you as much as something else might would. So don't go off and learn unless you are learning for the sake of expanding your mind, expanding your brain power. You don't need to go off and learn Lisp if you are a front-end web developer. Yes, it may help you become a better JavaScript developer, and it might help you become a better programmer and a better thinker. So for those reasons, yes, go and learn a little bit about Lisp. But I wouldn't say for you to go and dive into Lisp as deeply as you can if you're trying to become the best front-end web developer that you can. Why? Well, because Lisp just simply is never going to be used on the front end. Again, you will learn a lot of awesome things about functional programming that you can apply in JavaScript, sure. But it's not your number one goal to go and learn everything you can about Lisp and add that to your list of things that you can do. It is valuable to learn Lisp, but it's not the thing that you it's not going to add as much value, at least monetarily, into an employer as you going and learning another JavaScript framework that might be used more practically. Okay, so let's move on. If you are a specialized programmer, there are some pros for you. There are certain types of specializations that can thrive very well, okay, that make your specialization a little bit more stable. So this is a pro and a con, and this is the thing that's really kind of difficult about choosing to be one or the other of these. If you decide to be a specialized programmer, you're kind of making a gamble on whatever it is that you're specializing in, right? So imagine that you decided that you wanted to dive into, just a few years ago, the Palm Trio and making applications for the Palm Trio and learning everything you could and becoming a Palm Trio application specialist. Well, today, that specialization would be nearly useless, right? Now, however, in a very similar situation, you would have decided to become strictly an iOS developer, maybe even strictly an iOS developer for the iPhone or just for the iPad. Now, that's a similar decision, but the outcome of that decision is way better now, right? So it's a gamble. And it might be a gamble of you understanding, okay, what technologies are actually going to be around long enough for this to be a viable decision for me to choose to dive into iOS programming or dive into whatever. So that is a con, and it's a pro, because if you lose a gamble, quite often you lose big. If you win a gamble, you can win bigger potentially than a general programmer would be able to win. It's not a hard, fast rule. Again, a lot of this is subjective, but that is the kind of thing that you should be thinking about is what is the future of this particular specialization look like for me and for the industry that I'm going into? Okay. And then, so another example of a specialization would be like D3, right? D3.js. You can find yourself in a frustrating position if you're asked to solve a problem that requires multiple levels of knowledge that you are clueless about, right? So, in the previous example that I was talking about, the sysadmin, if your server gets hacked and you have absolutely no sysadmin, experience, then you might have to hire someone to do that for you, which is totally fine, right? But it could be that, that takes longer, or you don't have the resources to hire that out, or for whatever many reasons, you may not be in the best situation if you are suddenly facing a problem that you don't have any general knowledge or any starting point to know how to begin to solve that problem. So you will still need a base level knowledge, even as a specialized programmer, of the field that you're working in, which makes the specialized programmer position very difficult, because you have to choose how much of that generalized knowledge is enough, and you have to know when to cut it off. So I hope that this discussion about general programming versus specialized programming and what those two types of jobs entail, I hope it's been enlightening. I know that this is a super important discussion that could go on for hours and hours, and it's very specific to each individual situation. I would love to hear about your situation, about wherever you're working, about your experience as a specialized programmer or as a general programmer. I'd love to hear about it. I'd also love to hear any thoughts you have about the show. You can get at me on Twitter at @developerT, or you can email me at developertea@gmail.com. You can also help support the show by giving just 99 cents or $3.99 a month. You can go to developertea.com/donate. And there's a very simple form that you fill out. If you ever have any questions for me, please reach out. I'm always open and willing to answer your questions. A lot of the time, I will even answer them on the air on this show. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, enjoy your tea.